Good evening. Imagine all of your problems. Maybe one comes to mind immediately, something that is an obstacle for you, something that stands before you, seeming insurmountable, impassable. And you've tried all of the various resources that are available to you. You have problem solved. You have used money, you have perhaps meditated, maybe you've gathered up experts, those kinds of things. There is one in the world today who has authority over all things, and there is nothing beyond him. There is no thing that is out of his reach, no thing that is out of his control. And one of the things that, of course, I'm talking about Jesus. As you go through Scripture, I think we sometimes have this picture that the people there and then, you know, during the time of Jesus, that during the age of the miracles when they were being done with regularity, you get this idea that everybody could just have instantly whatever it was that they wanted, the healing that they wanted, and those kinds of things. But then I look at people like Paul. And he was a man of many ailments, and he didn't get a miracle. God gave him a friend. God gave him a companion in Luke, who wrote the Gospel of Luke, and then he wrote the counterpart to it, the book of Acts. And Luke traveled around with Paul, and that's what he had. And this was the grace of God for him. The Bible shows that there is one who sees all things, hears all things, knows all things, and has a compassion for our problems that goes eternally deeper than any other human being. He has power over it. He sees it, he knows it, he hears it, and he has power over it, and he is the authority over it. And even within suffering, he is the authority. And sometimes he allows it, and we may not know why that is, but it doesn't call into question his authority or his power. But I want to show you tonight this Jesus who has all authority, and the encouragement is simply that you would lean on him with your full weight. Jesus said that we should stand on top of the rock. We should build our lives there, put our feet firmly there. That is, every single egg goes into that basket. Don't reserve anything. Stand on Jesus with your full weight. And there is no promise for us that he will always do as we hope he does in the immediate. But we can be certain that he has all authority, that if he does allow something that we wish he didn't, that he will do it for our own good. We can trust in him. We can know him. But I want you to see this Jesus, because this record of his life shows that Jesus had all authority. There's nothing beyond him, no problem that you face that is beyond his authority or beyond his control. Mark wrote his gospel to show this authority. So let me show you just a couple of passages in this, and then we'll make a conclusion about it. Mark chapter 1. Beginning in verse 21, it says that they went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath, Jesus entered the synagogue, and he was teaching, and they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one who had authority and not as their scribes. So whatever the scribes were doing was not backed by the authority of God. And that either means that they were imposing their own traditions, which have no authority beyond their own selves, or perhaps they were just impotent. They were powerless in their presentation of the word. And you may have an atheist present the word. Maybe if an atheist were to read it, it wouldn't have the power as someone who believed it with all their heart. There's something different there. But they recognized that he had authority, not as their scribes. And immediately there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying out with a loud voice, came out of him. And they were all amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, saying, "What is this? A new teaching with authority. He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." And at once his fame spread everywhere throughout all the surrounding region of Galilee. We see here that Jesus was recognized as one having authority, one who taught with authority. So there was force behind what he said. There was power, and there was one in the position to be able to effect that which was under him. And in this instance, it was that of the spiritual realm. It was that of the demons. It was that of the wicked forces. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 6 that our wrestle isn't against flesh and blood, but it is against the rulers and the authorities and the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. And I know that you feel those. I do too. That struggle. Some days life, the hope feels dimmer. Sometimes the faith doesn't seem as strong, and you wonder, why is that? That's that wrestle, and we can feel it even if we can't see it. But I wonder, in that struggle, I wonder on what we rely. Who do we turn to? Do we turn to this Jesus, who his word alone can command those demons and cause them to be removed? Jesus is the authority over all wickedness. He's the authority over all of the evil in the world. In temptation, in sin, in struggle, on whom do you rely? Rely on Jesus. Turn to him. His word has authority. Write it on your heart. You see this in the temptations of Jesus in Matthew chapter 4. When Jesus was presented with some temptation of the flesh. And what did Jesus do on every occasion? He spoke the word of God. It was written on his heart. He spoke it. And he said, "It is written." And Satan would leave. And then he'd come back. And then he would leave. Jesus was always relying on the word. I wonder what would happen with us and the struggles in our lives. Those things that we ourselves may not have authority over, that we wish to remove, if we were to be filled up, so filled up with God's word that it was written on our hearts and we could speak it in the hour of temptation. Jesus has authority over the evil spirits. Over in chapter 2, those evil spirits, of course, and the wickedness in the world makes us unclean. And there are times where we wander into their camp. We may succumb to the temptation for a time, and I wonder where we turn in those instances when we are affected by that and we can feel the guilt of sin. Chapter 2 in verse 1, it says, "When they returned to Capernaum after some days, it was reported that Jesus was at home, and many were gathered together so that there was no more room, not even at the door. And he was preaching the words to them, and they came, bringing to him a paralytic carried by four men. And when they couldn't get near him because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him. And when they'd made an opening, they let down the bed on which the paralytic lay. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, 'Son, your sins are forgiven.' Now some of the scribes were sitting there, questioning in their hearts, 'Why does this man speak like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?' And immediately Jesus, perceiving in his spirit that they thus questioned within themselves, said to them, 'Why do you question these things in your hearts? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, "Your sins are forgiven," or to say, "Rise, take up your bed and walk"? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralytic, 'I say to you, rise, pick up your bed, and go home.' And he rose and immediately picked up his bed and went out before them all, so that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, 'We never saw anything like this.'" There we see Jesus with authority not over the ailments, not only over the ailments that this man suffered, but Jesus also had authority to forgive his sins. Jesus could take the sins of this man and release him from the debt that they imposed. Not only is he able to remove us from those wicked forces which perhaps once held us captive, but he is also able to forgive and to release us from the debt that we incurred while under those forces. We see the authority of Jesus here in full power. Jesus, over in chapter 3 and verse 15, it says that he gave his apostles the authority to cast out demons so they would have to listen. You know the story where there were some who were trying to cast out the demons and they hadn't been given this authority. And, you know, the demons said, "We know Peter and we know John, but these guys, we don't know." And then they lunged on them because they didn't have this authority. But Jesus has that authority. Over in chapter 4, listen to this. Beginning in verse 35, it says, "On that day when evening had come, he said to them, 'Let us go across to the other side.' And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was, and other boats were with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him, and they said to him, 'Teacher, do you not care that we're perishing?' And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, 'Peace, be still.'" You remember that teaching that Jesus had, which had authority, and a demon would have to hear his voice and a demon would have to leave. Someone could be suffering under that and it would have to immediately leave. A man could be a paralytic from birth, not having the proper muscle groups or whatever that was needed to be able to stand, not having the right connections in his spine, whatever it was, Jesus can instantly say, "Be removed, be gone," and the man could be healed. It's staggering what Jesus is capable of doing. And here you see this inanimate, this force, just the weather, wind, waves that were causing the disciples to fear. And Jesus could look at them and say, "Be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And Jesus said to them, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" See, over in the other Gospels, he says, "Oh, you of little faith." And he rebukes them for it. I wonder what Jesus sees when he looks down on us in the various things that are around us. Jesus was fast asleep in the midst of this. The forces were there. Jesus was clearly permitting it, and he himself wasn't bothered by it. In the midst of the storm and the waves and all of the trials that life brings, I wonder if Jesus looks down and sees those who are terrified, or does he look down and see those who have full faith and full confidence? Perhaps he's allowing the waves for a time for a reason. It doesn't mean that I don't cry out to him and ask him to remove them, but what if he doesn't? I may still know that he sees. I may still know that he cares. I may still know that he has authority over whatever it is. There were times in the ministry of Jesus' own disciples where he permitted things to happen that perhaps they did not want, and they knew he has authority. They were filled with great fear, and they said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" That's verse 41. He had authority over those things. Over in chapter 6 and verse 7, again, you see that Jesus gave them authority over the unclean spirits. So you see here in these first several chapters of Mark that Jesus has authority over demons. Jesus has authority over all of the wicked forces in the world. Jesus has authority over the debt that your sin and my sin incurred. Jesus has authority over physical ailments. Jesus has authority over weather. Jesus, in some of the other Gospels, shows that he has authority when he's right there and he could lay his hands on someone. And he can have authority over things where he is at a distance from it. See, Jesus may not be walking here on the earth any longer, but Jesus showed that he doesn't need to be right there in the literal sense. He can heal from what we would maybe say is afar, although he is not far off ever. He's always near. I want to finish by reading the statement from the very end of Matthew, a verse that we know very well. Matthew 28, beginning in verse 18. Jesus came and he said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." So this is the end of his ministry. He is about to ascend into the clouds, and he's going to leave for a time. And yet he's not departing by way of, it's not like his authority then went with him. He says, now I have all authority everywhere. Well, didn't you have all authority beforehand? Now Jesus has authority over everything in the universe. Jesus, it says in Philippians, was raised to the highest place. Paul says the same thing in Ephesians chapter 1. He was given the name that is above every name. He was raised to the highest level of heaven, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus has all authority, not just over all the things we just summarized, but Jesus has all authority over all of the nations. Over in Psalm chapter 2, it says, "Why do the nations rage and the Gentiles plot in vain? And the kings of the earth hold counsel together, saying, 'Let us burst their bonds apart.'" See, they don't like the command and the authority of God, and they seek to break free from it. And yet, God says, he sits from the heavens and he laughs and he says, "As for me, I have set on Zion, I've set on my holy hill, my king, and he will rule these nations with a rod of iron." See, this is speaking to the time that you and I are living in now, where Jesus is the authority. We need not turn on the news and be afraid of the world that we live in. We need not be afraid when we see the wars that are happening, when we see world powers in conflict with one another. Jesus said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore," here's what he says to you and me, "therefore you go and disciple the nations." It should be our mission to make every nation Christian. That's what it says. "Go therefore and disciple the nations." See, we've been given this authority by Jesus. The New Testament says in various places that, in fact, during the reign of Jesus Christ, we reign with him. We are now, even now, reigning with Jesus. And we have authority to go into the world and to make disciples. That is what we do as a church. That's the reason we sound forth the word of God. That's the reason we give the gospel. But what we see and what we should see as we go through the Bible is a total confidence over all things, to where we could say, come what may, Jesus is the high authority. There's nothing beyond him. That should give us great strength. It should give us great hope. It should cause us to stand before the world unabashed. We should stand before the world with confidence, with resilience, not recoiling, not postured always for failure, but knowing Jesus has authority. So sound forth the message. The world needs Jesus. The Bible says that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. And so we go forth and we proclaim his kingship. He's risen. He is alive. He's reigning as king. Even now, we go forth and we pronounce that. We let that be known to the entire world. He is king. He is the king of all kings. Every knee should bow. And there will be a day when every knee will bow. It's our job between the now and then to bring as many people to willingly bow. See, all people will see him and all people will bow. Even the demons, they will all bow. Our job right now, our call right now, is to bring every knee to bow. Let them do it of their own accord. So we give the message, we proclaim the gospel of hope. We speak the words without fear. We speak it without shame. As Jesus did, it says that we look to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. See, that's a part of it. Don't be ashamed. Don't be afraid of it. Despise that shame. We can hate that shame, and we can speak with hope. So I hope that your life is built on Jesus. There's an invitation right now if it isn't. We have water that is warmed at least to room temperature. And you know what? When I was in Wyoming this last week, we took a group of these high schoolers up on top of this place to these falls, and it was frigid mountain snowmelt. And there was a waterfall, and we jumped off of that waterfall into this big old pool. And you get in there, and it sucks your breath away. And I'm just saying, if we can do that for fun, we can do lukewarm water for sure. This baptistry is ready. There are people here always ready. Jesus is coming at a point that we do not know. He will come like a thief in the night. Are you ready for him? Is your life built on him? Be the wise person who builds your life on the rock. If something is holding you back, what's holding you back? What could hold you back? One who can cast out the evil? One who can forgive you of all the wrong you've done? One who can make you whole and new again? The final authority over all things, who will give you a future and a hope? What could hold you back? The call is for you to come forward, if you need to put on Jesus Christ in baptism. There is really no obstacle between you and Jesus Christ. So if you have any need, please come forward while we stand and while we sing.